Well, 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 well. This morning there's a couple of things that we're going to do, but mostly we're going to take a sample. If you're going to improve something, I always have a policy that you should know what it is. So we're going to start by making sure that any of you who are in a state of absolute and utter fright, get it out of your system once and for all, for the last time, hopefully, because we want to build a new state for you. Because my guess is, ma'am, finish up quickly. Put your toys away. This is not a note-taking day. If you're planning to take notes, forget it. Notes won't help. Whenever I see somebody walk on a stage with notes, I always shake my head because I know they're in for trouble. As a matter of fact, when I gave the trainer's test the very, very first time, people went through all kinds of things and they learned all kinds of things. The very first person to walk up and take their test walked up with a big stack of 3x5 note cards. And as they got onto the stage, I went like a handshake interrupt, took the cards and went and shot them out into the audience. He turned and looked at me with fear in his eyes. And I said, if it ain't in your head yet, having all the cards in the world won't help. Plus, what if you were to drop them? I mean, what are you going to do? Go pick them up? I've seen people do it. It's a horrible thing. I've seen people do things like go up and set a music stand on the stage and read off of it. I mean, you know, as if you need to do that. If you don't know the material by the time you get up there, then I figure you're fodder. And so the thing is you have to trust that inside of you, do you need to have pre-written cards to have internal dialogue to criticize yourself? Nope, you don't. You don't need any 3x5 cards, do you? When you're really excited and you come home and you tell somebody about something, do you have to check your notes? No. It just flies out. It comes out great, doesn't it? Now, the trick is to get into the state which you can access the machine that generates generative syntax. Now, I'm not only going to ask you to do that, because I'm going to ask you to do more than is humanly possible today. I expect no one to succeed. If I wanted you to succeed, I'd have you do this 45 minutes apiece, right? And I'd stay in California. Okay. The trick is even though I'm going to ask you to do things that are different than what you do normally, that is the foundation of learning. If it feels awkward, it's because it's new. If you feel like you can't do it, you're wrong. And you've been wrong before, haven't you? Is there anybody in here that's never been wrong? Okay, well, this is going to be a good day to be wrong. Right. Today is the day where you want to learn to try and do simultaneously a whole bunch of things. Tomorrow, I'm going to add more. The day after, more. And when I start adding just enough, there's a point where your conscious mind will snap. And something inside you will go, fuck it. And you'll just do it. And when you do it, that's when you'll do your best. I've done this now for almost 25 years. And the first year, I didn't accomplish a hell of a lot. But then I only came in and did the testing. They decided they didn't need me for the rest of it. That was the only time they ever did that. They had it all organized. And the night before, they each went up and did a little presentation, and I came and sat in the audience and did every fucking thing that had ever been done to me over the years that was a pain in the ass, including coming in, setting a tape recorder up on the stage, crankling the set, and said, never mind me, and then sitting down, raising my hand and saying, I was a little late. Can you tell me what happened? I've had people come in on the third day and ask that question. You have to learn to look at them and go, nothing, and go on. And they go, no, really. And I go, no, really. Nothing happened. Does anybody here remember anything from the first 3 days? They all went, nope. If so, they could come up and tell it. The thing is to remember, you're driving the bus, and that requires attitude. And I don't care who's in the audience. If God drops by, tell him to take his seat. This is the attitude you have, because otherwise, you're not going to be able to load in information in a way that's going to stay there. When people interrupt you, there are people who are full of questions, right? There are two good things you can always do. When they raise their hand, you can look at them and go, hold that question. no idea what that means, nor do I care, but people will, right? Or you can tell them to allow their arm to go down only at the rate and speed that they go inside and stay there. That's a great one, by the way, because then they're stuck. The arm gets stiff like this, and I go, catalepsy, deep trance phenomenon, close your eyes. Mostly what will happen is that there are people who have decided how you should package information so they can understand it. Understanding being the key to they are not acquiring information. And also, even if you had to do that, everybody packages it differently. The trick is to change their strategy so they understand you. Remember, some of you who have any NLP background at all, this will be a lot easier for you than those that do. Those of you that do, the trick is, if you're going to teach somebody how to spell, you teach them to make pictures of the words. Now, we're going to teach people, and I know lots of you in here do different things. Do we have any sales trainers in here? Right? Okay, if you're going to do sales training, what do you have to teach people to do? Buy. Right, if you're going to teach them to sell, right, the best way to know how to sell is to know how to buy. That's why salesmen are always such great consumers, if they're good salesmen. If they're bad salesmen, they have no money, they can't consume. See, I went and modeled the guys that work at Cessna. They sell Cessna jets, and they're amongst the people. And what I liked about it, the thing when I, you know, I was checking around, I met one of these guys, and I designed the windows that are at Cessna jets, by the way. They're kind of tricky. They're windows, and you turn them, and they get dark. And then you turn them, and they get clear. Those things. They're just polarized glasses. But there's a technical flaw in physics that no one's ever been able to figure out. You take a piece of polarized filter like this, it cuts out 30% of the light. And if you put another one like that, it cuts out 30% of the light. If you turn this one like this, it goes completely black. And if you stick one in at a 45-degree angle, it goes clear. Physicists hate that, by the way. If you ever want to get a physicist really psychotic, show him that and go, can you explain that? They start talking, well, the photons spin real fast suddenly. When they detect there's three there, then they turn faster than if there's just one. You know what I mean? This is where the fudge factor and the finagle phenomenon start wantonly going. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, what are you, the rest of you do? We have some school teachers in here? God, last one. Glad. Usually school teachers don't want to know anything about public speaking. They always tell me, they go, I just talk to children. Like you don't have to be twice as good to do that. To keep the attention of children for any length of time requires at least a Nintendo game. If you can't imitate a Nintendo game and move as quickly, you are in deep trouble. You'll have to do things like give them Ritalin to slow them down, which I really don't like that. They give kids drugs every day and tell them not to take drugs. And Ritalin is actually speed, by the way. It's not a thing that slows them down. They just turn into burnt-out speed freaks like this. And my theory was we should collect it all together, give it to the teachers, since it's not harmful to their health. I actually got a school board to go for that, but the teachers wouldn't take it. But at least they stopped giving it. And, of course, I was jumping around the coffee room, plopping things in the coffee pot all, every day. It was only a mile from my house. Every day I'd walk in and open the coffee pot and go, plunk, like this. And they go, what did you put in there now? It was only saccharin, but I could tell them things like LSD. You give kids Ritalin, I give you LSD. You know, the water supply to this place, the tank, is on the top of my property. Have you had any water today? Did you wash your hands? The placebo effect was wildly at work. Now, here are the things that I want you to keep in mind. One is that it is very important for you to concentrate on the fact that the major thing that we're going to be doing today has nothing to do with content. Since you don't know yet what you're going to talk about until you get up here and I tell you. Now, I may even feed it to you a line at a time. I am interested in your rhythm. I'm interested in your using your chest and your hands to push sound. I'm interested that when you walk up here, that you plant yourself. We don't want anybody popping like popcorn up here, okay? I've seen this stuff, right? Now, in order to concentrate on any rhythm, because I'll use different, I'm going to put music, you speak to it. It's what the music is for. Later on, we'll turn the volume down, just leave it inside your head. But when you come out, your rhythm will be even, it will be smooth. Now, let me tell you a couple of tricks. One is that since there's an audience out here, when you go like this with your hand, It's different for them than it is for you. Remember, you're going to be slicing their pictures in half. So unless you want to break things up, try to keep your hands this way. It's a bit uncomfortable at first. You have to rock back on your heels a little bit. But when you do take your hand up, always go from curved to flat, and from flat back to curved, so that you create space. When you move, move and plant yourself and talk. Don't be talking and bopping around like this and talking till way down the road, because your rhythm will get off. Make a movement, speak in relationship to space, stop, leave lots of space between your words. There's nothing important you're going to say today, so there's no hurry, okay? Just kick back. If I gave you something important to talk about, you'd have a reason to be in stress. But all you have to do is watch the audience, because the most important thing is that you listen to yourself talk on the outside. Since you don't know what you're going to say, right, you don't have to plan, okay? You can't make a mistake, right, because there's nothing you can say that's wrong. What's important is that you learn to create space, that you start with the back of the audience, that your eyes come up and leave a space in the rhythm for them to breathe. Use sentence fragments to begin to control their breathing. You want to be able to make sure you're talking to an audience, not an individual. Now, I know some of you, because you went to school, learned that if you look people in the eye, it's time to feel afraid. Okay? Go inside and change that belief, right? You need to be able to look at people. You don't have to look at them for a long time, but take a look at them. And when you look at them, go inside your head and say, your ass is mine. Because if you don't have that attitude, your ass will be theirs. You look out and feel fear, and if audiences detect fear in a speaker, they're like dogs. They're all over you. Especially if they have too much college education. See, I did manager's clinic, and they did things like they went, Dr. Bandler, would you explain to us your stand on the mind-body split? And I went, okay, you really want me to show you? The guy said, what? My partner at the time looked at him and went, there is no mind. And there wasn't. Now, the other thing is when people are listening and understanding, a lot of times the look on their face may make you think that they don't appreciate what you're doing. But a lot of times when people follow things, they're trying to look at a small picture. That's what this face tells you. Right? It doesn't mean that they don't understand. It doesn't mean that they think you're nuts, because that doesn't matter. But when you look at them and they're making contorted faces, probably you'll notice it happens when you walk close. Because the closer you get, the harder it is for them to crunch the picture in. And they're in the wrong chair. When you notice that happening, try walking to the side and seeing if it's easier for them. And if it is, then say, excuse me, would you like to sit back over there? And they'll say why, and they'll go, just trust me, you'll feel better, unless you're against that sort of thing. Now, the trick is remember, you can rearrange people, you can do anything you want, as long as you accomplish the task. Now, our task here is first going to be to get you a little used to using a microphone. Some of you have, some of you haven't. Today, we're going to start with the most trustworthy of all microphones, Mr. Nady. Now, the Nady microphone, which is here in the stand, has the added advantage in that it has no cord. For those of you who do public speaking, trust me, buy your own microphone. Because down the road, they're going to give you the worst, most awful Radio Shack phenomenon that you can imagine. Pinned to your lavel, and with a short cord, you'll be standing there like this. It's worth the money because of the difference in what you can get. Now, there's a trick, too, with the microphones. Most people, when they grab microphones, forget they're in their hand. Right? It's okay. Some of you are going to do it. Even though I talk about it, they'll go, now, the first, you know. The trick is that when you come up here, I want you to concentrate on going into the state. Remember, take the best of what you got last night. We're going to add more every day to it. The other thing is to put the microphone in. For example, I'm left-handed, so I hold the microphone in my right hand. Why is that? Because you gesture more with the other hand. If you're ambidextrous, you're fucked, which is really where I am. Now, the trick is to be able to put it in your hand, bring it up, and lock it. always make an extra movement so you can build an unconscious thing that will keep it always the same distance so that no matter where you move. That way, when you want to be able to create more volume, you go like this. Remember also not to listen to your mouth. Listen to your mouth. It's over there. Then you'll discover things like it's not on.
Hello.
Different, huh? I've seen people go up for an hour and a half. Now, once you have planted yourself, because the thing is if you come up here and stand directly and face an audience like this, it is uninteresting. You need to learn to always put your foot so that this foot starts out at least at a 45-degree angle. So you face an audience at a 45-degree angle as much as you can. The more you can face them at a 45-degree angle and move from that position, the more interesting. Because when you come up here and you go, well, let me tell you about this. It looks stupid, right? Now, we want to reduce as much of that as possible, but it also gives you the ability to turn at your hips this way and that way. Because you use the center of your eyes to watch what's going on. The side of your eyes detects motion. That's what it's for. Now, you use that so that any time you see any motion, turn to it and pause for an instant, no matter how big the audience is. This will teach them at the unconscious level that you are alert. And that will mean they will stay that way, no matter what you're doing. Because you'll get people, the minute somebody turns to do something, turn and look at them. Turn and look at them because you want to put them. Otherwise, they'll throw the whole thing out of sequence. You want them to breathe together in comfort. Now, whenever you use a sentence fragment and you begin to get the response you want and you turn and plant yourself when you step and make a movement or give any kind of a suggestion. See, those movements control the people. It gives you the idea of who's responding. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Of course not. Because I'm not letting you. See, if I want you to understand suggestions, then what I'm going to do is to stop putting in something that puts you in the state where you can't. Now, if it's that easy for me to do it, imagine how many of you will without wanting to. Beware of inducing amnesia. Worse than that, beware of inducing states which make people crazy. For example, those people who go up to make images and think and talk this way say, now, you have to understand clearly. See how easy it is? Clearly what? There's nothing clear left. You knock their pictures out, you go, when you listen to me, I want everybody to get a clear, concise image. You see what I mean? Of course not. You've knocked the picture out. Movement you use to the minimum. And you use it when it's effective. Words make every word give you all its money's worth. When you say a word like relax, use it. When you get to the end of it, stop crisply. Now, the other thing is when you use a microphone, microphones are magic. You can talk over the top of them. When you talk into them, you spit. Okay? The trick is to get it in the position so the air that blows out of your mouth goes over the top. Not into it. You don't have to pour your voice in and have it come out the other end. A funnel it is not. Precise, find that place. Now, when you get up here the first time, move it around a little bit. Find the sweet spot. Lock it in so you can go away, come back. That way you can gesture. You say, and on one hand, it could be this way. You're going to want to talk before the mic gets back. But you know what? The bigger the room, the more useless it is. You have 10,000 people and you go, and it's really important to look into the future. Is that clear to everybody? Now. Now, sometimes inducing amnesia is useful when you want to. I say, you all have a concise understanding of what a good salesman was, didn't you? But now it's time to make a new idea. Temporal predicates are very important because audiences respond to them intensely, just like individuals. All the same stuff applies. Now, when you anchor, of course, you can't anchor people. Unless you want to run around and grab everybody's knee, that's a real drag. I use the front of the stage right here as an invisible blackboard with switches on it, right? I wait till I get an intense audience from them, and I mark it right there. The more precisely you mark it, I even leave a fingerprint up there. I can see it. I label mine right underneath it. This is this, right? So that when I go back, and it's right there. Now, if you anchor visually and auditorily at the same time, it's even more profound. Now, I'm throwing some of these out to show you how many things there are to overwhelm you. Now, isn't it going to be nice that you only have to keep track of a couple? Feel better now? Oh, you mean we have to do all of this at once? No, if you make a mistake, I will jump all over you. It'll be fine. You'll never want to do that again. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start by asking you, can you turn the lights down just a little bit here? Before we do this, I want to show you something else. If you, before you come up here, just take a few seconds and take a deep, couple of deep breaths, you'll feel better. Oxygen means you're alive. Lack of it means you're dying. This is particularly true on the stage. When you hold your breath, anything that's inside of you that's unpleasant will jump out of proportion. So the trick is even if you feel it start to happen, just stop. Take a couple deep breaths. Walk over, go, Make yourself feel better and then come back. They don't know what you're doing, but they'll feel better too. You go into stress, they go into stress. The trick is keep yourself feeling good and keep them feeling good. Now put your feet on the floor. That's the thing on the ground there. Close your eyes. And remember, if you anticipate pleasant things, they will happen to you. Now, I know some of you have years of experience of thinking what can go wrong, and you keep finding it. Go inside your head if you have little voices saying, you know, oh, God, this is... Blah, 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 blah. Just say to them, shut the fuck up. Will you? And go... And go, Look at this as an opportunity. You get a chance to learn new skills which can make you a shitload of money. It gives you the ability to communicate the ideas that you think are important to larger and larger numbers of people. This translates into power. The best time, where you share your good stuff with other people. Not where you share your bad stuff with other people. There's a name for that. We call that college. Hey, if they could get a job with the shit they had, they'd be doing it. It's happening all over the place. Now, if you want to be truly altruistic to yourself, take another deep breath and say, this is going to be fun. And then go, how can I enjoy this? Make a picture of yourself up there making mistakes, being criticized, and enjoying it. Because if you can do it that way, you don't have to make the mistakes over again. And it means the more that people tell you, the more you'll have, as long as they give you something you can do and a chance to learn it. Without beating you over the head and telling you you'll never amount to anything. What bullshit. You know, I spent that year making that nut and bolt, and you know what? I make more in a day than that guy made in a year. The counselor made in a year less than I make in a day. And one of us wasn't living up to our full potential. They wanted me to make nuts? Well, they got their way. I make lots of them now. The best kind. The kind that engage in random acts of kindness. Now, take a few really deep breaths, and then the other thing I want you to do is to notice some of you can't keep your feet flat on the floor for that length of time. Put them flat, because when you're up here, I need to have you plant yourself and feel the earth coming up through your feet. You need to realize the one thing you can rely upon right now is that if you don't follow instructions, you're in deep shit. When I say shut your eyes, I'm not kidding. That's where you close them like this. That way, I want you to feel the top of your head right now, as if a drip hits the top of your head of water. Only it's not water, it's gravity. Feel it begin to spread and see if on your head it spreads evenly. Roll your head back a little bit, forward a little bit, side to side, till you find the point of zero gravity. It should be possible for you to find a place in your body with no shearing force. The more you let gravity push you forward or push you backwards or sideways, the more unbalanced you will be, And the more you do this, I got news for you, it is very intense. When you get in front of an audience, all the energy they throw at you, all the things you have to do at the same time, if you have a little gravity pushing you to one side, when you get done after 3 or 4 hours or 6 hours like I do, you'll walk in and you'll literally have pains you wouldn't believe. So I want your body now unconsciously to begin to adjust itself, to find the point of zero gravity, to make a habit of keeping your feet flat on the floor, so that when you get up here, you stay in a state of maximum power and maximum confidence. And breathe, for Christ's sake. You need to keep doing it. In through the mouth, out through the nose. In through the mouth, out through the nose. Because in order to speak words, it takes a lot of air. Otherwise, you know, you want these people that talk like this? It's the Minnie Mouse approach to sales.